This morning, Psalm chapter 31, we'll read the first 8 verses responsively. I'll read on verse 1, and then would you please join me on verse 2 and every other verse down through verse 8. Here this morning, Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room.
I always loved hearing Lonnie Pruitt pray. Didn't you? He's been in heaven now for a little while. And I miss him. He was a good friend and, of course, a deacon here and a servant of the Lord. But when he prayed, he always said the same thing, the same phrase, in his prayer. He always asked God to lead, guide, and direct. Maybe you remember that. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can see him standing here in the pulpit saying that we ask Heavenly Father you might lead and guide and direct and a particular thing that was going on. My text today comes from verse 3 of Psalm 31. It says, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. My message title today is Lead, Guide, and Direct. Thank you, Lonnie Pruitt, for the sermon title. Often in our prayers we pray that God will lead, guide, and direct over our choices that we make. And that's not a wrong thing to do. We want God to lead and to guide and to direct in everything in our lives. However, you can't see God and you cannot touch God, but God does not make himself non-existent. You see, he's just as real as we are here today. And Christians need to understand that even when we do not feel him in our lives, and this is an important statement, even though often we do not feel him in our lives, he's there anyway, because his presence is not dependent upon our feelings, you see. The child of God has God living in him. Dr. John R. Rice, who's been in heaven now for many years, he put it this way, and I quote, God is with you when you feel his presence, but he's also with you when you do not feel his presence, end quote. John Rice was correct when he made that statement. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? It goes on to say, for you're bought with a price. We are not our own, but the Bible says here the Spirit of God dwells in us as believers. He's with us all the time, day and night. Doesn't matter, trial or whatever it might be, God is there with us. And that's whether we feel him there or not. There are many who they detect, they feel as though God is with them, or they feel that God is not with them. That does not change the fact that he's with us all the time. And we must keep that in mind. You see, the Lord is ever with us, and he puts his guiding hand on us, even when we don't realize it, you see. We don't always have to acknowledge what God is doing. Just remember that God is doing it, and he's working behind the scenes. It's kind of like the book of Esther. You know, the book of Esther never one time mentions the name of God. I mean, not in the words that are there. It's been found when people do acrostics and things like that in the original language, but that's not important. The fact in the book of Esther, he is not mentioned, but we see the hand of God guiding and working for such a time as this. We must understand that. When I see that, we have to understand this is revealed in the writings of Moses and taking the children out of Egypt, where we see the guiding hand of God leading and guiding and directing. Let me just read you just a few passages from the Bible that say that. Exodus chapter 13, please, verses 3 through 5. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came out in the mouth of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto the fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, thou shalt keep this service in this month. He said here it was God's hand that guided them. I think also of Psalm 78 and verse 14. It says, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Psalm 106 and verse 9, it says, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And one last reference. In Isaiah chapter 48 and the verse number 21, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. We find that God was guiding his people. Did everybody believe that God was guiding them at that time? Well, we don't find that in the Bible, that everyone believed. In fact, there were a number of doubters, but God guided them nonetheless. God promised to take them to the promised land, and he did take them to the promised land, and he did. And if you will observe some of the major characters in the Bible, you understand that God was faithful to guide them as well. You see, we read verses like Psalm 31 and verse 3, but we find this truth throughout the entire Word of God. Note that he guided Abraham from his homeland to a place that he was showing. By the way, Abraham had no idea where he was going. The Bible says in Genesis 12 and verse 1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He didn't have a road map. He just had God guiding him. When I think Elijah was led to the brook Cherith, boy, he was glad he was led there, that's for sure, because there was a famine in the land and God took care of him. And he could be fed and watered at Cherith, but God led him there. And the servant was led to Rebekah, God's choice for a wife for Isaac. Let me read you Genesis 24 and verse 27. In a moment, I'll get to the meat of my message about God's guidance. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. We find this wonderful truth. It says, he led me to the house of my master's brethren. What a great truth of God's guidance. It's there. God didn't just put us here on this earth to make our own way. He left us with guidance, that's for sure. And so we have to understand that God is in the business of showing his people the next step. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He puts every step together for us, but we need to be sensitive to that. But how does God guide us today? We don't have a fiery cloud by night or a cloud by day to guide us. We don't have any of that. We don't have the booming voice of God coming out of a cloud or from the top of a mountain. We have none of those things. But yet the Bible gives us principles throughout the Word of God of how he guides us. And that's what I want to show us today. Because many of us, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are in the Lord, we have a need to know where God is guiding us every single day. Because we make decisions every single day. And sometimes we make decisions without God's guidance. That always gets us in trouble. First of all, a very famous verse and one that everybody in this room knows. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Number one, if you're taking notes, God will guide us with his eye. See, Pastor, what on earth could that possibly mean? Look what the Bible says. He says in Psalm 32, 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The answer is actually found in the verse itself. that's found there. And I used to have good eyesight. I really did. When I was in college, I remember I had to get my eyes checked for a job that I got, and my eyesight was 20/17. It's not even close to that now. I'm not sure what it is. But my eyes were 20/17, and even my good eyesight did not always keep me from doing things that I shouldn't have done. We were visiting in the home of some teenagers had visited our youth group, and we were sitting in this beautiful house and enjoying fellowship with the family there. Got up to leave. I walked smack dab into a plexiglass door. It wasn't open. It was closed, and it was an entire sheet of plexiglass all the way down. Well, you can't see plexiglass if it's clean, and this house happened to be clean from the floor all the way to the top. And I hit that face first. Boom! What a way to leave an impression on new teenagers in the youth group, right? I believe it was two sisters, if I remember correctly. And that happened then. So my good eyesight in those days didn't keep me from hitting a plexiglass door head on. But what does it mean to be guided by his eye? Let's go back to verse 8, and you'll see that the meaning of being guided by the eye is found actually in the verse. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee. To be guided by God's eye is to be literally guided by his counsel. Guided by his counsel. And where do you find God's counsel? You find it in this book right here. You find it in his word. And God gave them his word in those days. And you see, to be guided by God's eye, that is to be guided, it quite literally means to be guided by his counsel, what God guides us to do. And the Lord has no problem with his eyesight whatsoever. None. We do, but he does not. And what a wonderful truth we have that God guides us with his eye. That is, he guides us with his insight. He guides us with his counsel. And notice it says in Job chapter 34 and verse 21. Let me read you these precious words. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Nothing is hidden from God. Nothing takes him by surprise. God never says, I didn't know that. He never says, oops. He never says, uh-oh. And the truth of the matter, his eye can guide us if we will allow him to do so. And why should we worry when we have such a great God who sees everything? The guy, he knows the way. By the way, you may not know the next step, but God knows the next step because he knows the road that's before you. We may not see the answer to the problem. We may not even see the solution to the problem, but we've got a God who knows that. We not be, knowing the one that knows the way, the one that is over all, the one that is the first and the last, the one that is the beginning and the ending, the one that is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who's been there, done that. You don't travel a road that God's not been down. And so we must understand that. That's why the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And a very good truth that God gives us. He guides us with his counsel. He guides us with his own insight. He guides us, the Bible says, Psalm 32 and verse 8, don't forget it. He guides us with his eye. Notice he also guides us with his word. You knew where I was going, didn't you? Psalm 119, verse 105, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Every Sunday morning, we do the pledges to our flags, to the American flag, to the Christian flag, and to the Word of God. And the pledge to the Word of God says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against him. But it says that it's a light, it's a guide to us in our lives. The Word of God is that book that you have in your lap right now, that book you have in front of you, that book you have in your hands, that book that's right now resting in the little shelf on the back of the pews. That book is a guidebook that God has for us. And it has the very words of God in it. And God illumineth our way. I love Psalm 119 and verse 130. It's one you ought to know. It's one you ought to have memorized perhaps. But it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The word of God gives light. Lord, I can't see the way. The way ahead of me is dark. The way ahead of me is unknown. The way ahead of me is just a big question mark. Now, wait a minute. The entrance of God's word gives light. It gives light. I have a very powerful flashlight that I own, and I bought it a number of years ago. And then I have a little tiny, small flashlight that was given to me by my son-in-law for Christmas 1 year. Got to keep the battery charged in it. You talk about a bright light. One night I was sitting out on our back porch. Well, it's not really a porch. It's just a slab of concrete that's behind our house. And I heard crash, boom, crash, scratch, scratch, crash, crash, crash. And I thought, that's not a raccoon. And I thought, that's not even a squirrel. Took my flashlight and shined it over that way, and it was a bear in our neighbor's yard eating all of his compost. He took that compost barrel, turned it over, started eating everything in it and slapping that barrel around, but I could see it. See, what did you do after that? Every night that I went out and sat in the backyard on that slab of concrete, we have a glider back there that I sit on, I took my big flashlight, and every night that I would go out, I would shine the flashlight around to see if there's anything else coming, because the bear was next door. I live next door. I did not want that bear coming to get me, so I was looking for him, looking for his beady little eyes is what I was looking for. But why did I use a powerful flashlight? That little one that uses them two D-sized batteries with that real dim bulb in it, even when it's got new batteries in it, I didn't use one of them. I used one that shined a bright white light wherever I pointed it. And it split the darkness, and I was able to see clearly. See, did the neighbors ever complain? Not about my shining my flashlight, because I didn't shine it in their windows, but I shined it to where I could see. The entrance of thy word giveth light, Psalm 119, 130. You see, through the word of God, he gives us guidance in our lives. There are so many today that need to use their Bibles more. And I don't mean to go get your study books and sit down and do a Bible study. I mean, just read the Bible. I've got my study books. I use them every single week in my preparation for my sermons. I've got Greek and the Hebrew, and I've got the history, and I've got the different things and the word meaning. I've got all these different things. I got one of my books off the shelf yesterday that has every word in the Old Testament with every Hebrew word that's used. It is how it's translated throughout the entire Old Testament. I've got all of that, but I'm not talking about using those. I'm talking about just open the Bible and read the thing. Be familiar with what God has done, like the references that I've given today about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, the children of Israel being guided by God's hand and by God's light, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, these different things, understanding how God took care of his people and how God's hand guided them. Things like this are inspirational to us. We can go to God and say, Lord, I need you to lead, guide, and direct me right now in my life. How are we to know the way that we are to walk if we do not know what God says about the matter? The Holy Spirit will never guide you beyond what the Word of God says, meaning he will never contradict what the Bible says. He won't lead you to do something that is sinful. He will not lead you to do something that is wrong. He will not lead you to do something that is unwise. Therefore, he gives us that direction in his word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But you got to be in the word of God. See, how much should I read? Just something. If you're not getting anything out of your Bible reading schedule, 3 chapters in the Old Testament in the morning, 3 chapters in the New Testament at night, then change your Bible reading schedule. Read something else. And what I'm saying is you get your guidance. I look in my office right now and I've got a folder. In fact, I've got two of them. I call it my idea file. I got that idea from Curtis Hudson because he said he had I have an idea file. You know, he was from the South. So an idea was an idea. And so I thought, well, I need to have me an idea file. And one got so full, I had to make a second one. I have page after page after page back in the years when I used to use Daytimer, and I would write the notes in my Daytimer of things that I was reading. And there are pages after page after page after page of different things that I got out of the Word of God for sermon ideas, for things that I wanted to learn. And I've preached a number of those things through the years, but the guidance came because I was in the Word of God. And I wrote the things down. And you see, it was important for me to be able to do that. King Hezekiah's prayer was that the Lord would direct his steps through the Word of God. Let me read you Hezekiah's words. And I believe that Hezekiah wrote Psalm 119 under the inspiration of the Spirit. Others disagree with that, but either way, the Spirit of God wrote it. But Psalm 119, verse 133, is a verse of Scripture. You know, on your phone, you have a place for email and text. You can put what they call a signature on it. Some people say just their name, and that'll automatically put it into an email or whatever. This is the one that I use mainly on all of our correspondence that I send out as far as that goes. And here's what it says. It says in Psalm 119, 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me." Let not iniquity have control and power and guidance in my life. Let it not have dominion over me. And I put that in there to remind me every time I send something. And I want the folks who read my emails and the folks who read my correspondence, I want them to be able to see that, because sometimes we skip over signatures that people put down. But I put it down there because the entrance of God's word does what? It gives light. And I love that verse. The Bible will light our path and cause us to know which way that we should go. Absolutely. But then I think also he'll guide us in the right path. He will always guide us in the right path. The Bible, listen, there's numerous Bible passages that make that abundantly clear, that God will guide you the right way. Don't ever be afraid of God's guidance. Some people don't want God's guidance because they're afraid he might send them to deepest, darkest Africa, or to the Aboriginal tribes of Australia, or someplace where they don't want to be. Might send them to North Korea, South Korea. You just never know where God might send them. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. But wait a minute, God will never lead you wrong. Never lead you wrong. Unlike the GPS in your car, which will sometimes lead you down the wrong path. The Bible says, for example, Psalm 31 and verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Psalm 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. Oh, what a great psalm. Not only is it prophetic about the Messiah, but it's also comforting to all of us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Proverbs 8 and verse 20, talking about God's wisdom, where God actually gives a personality to the subject of wisdom. And wisdom says, "I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." I lead in the way of righteousness. He's not going to lead you down the primrose path of evil and sin and backsliding and all the rest of it. No, God's not in it when that happens in your life. John 16 and verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will guide you." Huh, really? But what does he guide us in? "He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Guidance is there, you see. You'll never have to be concerned about going the wrong way if God is doing the leading. Can I say that again? You will never have to worry about being led the wrong way as long as God is doing the leading, because he will never lead you wrongly. And this is one important reason that we should not trust our own feelings when it comes to things. Like I said at the beginning of this message, I want to go back and read it. Dr. John Rice, he was really putting, there's nothing wrong with having feelings and emotion in Christianity. That's, God gave us those things. But you can't let those things guide you. And John Rice simply said, "God is with you when you feel his presence, but he is also with you when you do not feel his presence." We can't determine the will of God when we're going on our feelings, and the Bible makes that clear when it gives us this verse out of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. It says, "He that trusteth in his heart and in his own heart is a fool." What's he talking about? Trusting yourself, trusting your feelings. You know, one day you might want to get up and attack hell with a squirt gun and defeat the devil right then. There's other ones you want to run as hard as you can run. The feelings are no way to determine the will of God. It has to be a steady thing, and the Word of God is that steady thing. But let me give you one last thing that I want to remind you of about God's guiding us. He will guide us, and this is so good, this is so rich, He will guide us for His name's sake, not for yours. He will guide you for His name's sake. I read these verses a minute ago, but I want to read them again to remind you. Psalm 31 and verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me." He does it for His testimony, not yours. For example, Psalm 23, we read it a little bit ago. Everybody loves Psalm 23. Unsaved people love Psalm 23. You go to a funeral, there's unsaved people there. Somebody stands up and reads Psalm 23 because the person who died had that in their wishes for their funeral. Well, not everybody that attends a funeral knows Jesus as their Savior. But they'll get up and read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You see, He does. The Bible, for example, the Bible says in the New Testament, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." That does not mean if it looks bad, don't do it. That means when evil shows up, you abstain from it. No matter what it is. Because there's a lot of things that we can do as a Christian. Knocking on a door. Talking to a single lady at the door. One might say, "Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's scary. That looks bad." But wait a minute. We're supposed to be a witness. So the Bible says when evil shows up, that's when you abstain from it. That's exactly what Joseph did in Potiphar's court. When Potiphar's evil, wicked, evil woman, day after day, tempted him and came to him to be, wanted him to be immoral with her, even though she was married to Potiphar, and the Bible finally says, he said, "Lay with me," and he would not, and he took off running, and she grabbed his coat and pulled it off of him, and all she could see was elbows and heels. He still went to prison because she lied, but evil showed up. And he went the other way. You see, that's what you're supposed to do. And that's what it meant about Job when the Bible says he was a perfect man in every way. It meant he was a mature believer in God, a mature Christian, if I can put it in New Testament terminology. But the Bible said he eschewed evil. I've taught you this before, and repetition is good. Repetition is the key to learning. But the word eschewed, once you boil all the fat off of it in its meaning from the Word of God, it literally means that evil and sin seize elbows and heels as you run away from it rather than saying, "I can handle it." Well, I remember when I was in high school, there were kids who would drink and do drugs and all the rest of it. And one boy in particular said, "I can handle it. I can handle my alcohol. I can handle my drugs." And they would find a way. I don't know if it works. I've never drunk anything in my life. I've smelled an awful lot of it, but I've never drunk any of it. But they would do something that would coat their stomach so they could drink more alcohol and not get as drunk right away. Very amazing thing. All I'm saying is that when evil shows up, you learn to go the other direction and stay away from it. It doesn't mean if it looks bad, don't do it. Now, sometimes things do look bad, and you ought to abstain from that, but that's not found in that verse. The truth of the matter is, it simply means when evil shows up, you run, and you go the other direction. When sin is there, you learn to do that. And our testimony is very important, but above our testimony is God's name, and He will lead us day by day for His name's sake. Not for our testimony's sake, but for His name's sake, so that the name of God is not blasphemed, so that the name of God is not dragged through the dirt and the muck and the sin of this world, you see. His leading is not always for our benefit only, but is for his name's sake, so that he might be glorified, Jesus might be lifted up. And today there are many of God's people, are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? There are many today that are looking for guidance, and they look everywhere for guidance. In high school, they got guidance counselors. If you're a Christian, your pastor ought to be your guidance counselor, not your guidance counselor from your public school. But why? Because if they don't know the Lord, if they're not born again, if they're not saved, then you need to get somebody's guidance who knows the Word of God that can give you the right Word of God, the right counsel about what you should do. And when I was growing up, we had counselors in my high school, of course, but my counselors were my dad, my mom, my pastor, and my youth director. That's where I got my counsel. And I wanted their guidance. And I didn't know the Bible very well back then, hardly at all. I was a teenager. What teenager knows the Bible like the back of his hand? I didn't know it. I admit that right now. I did not have the maturity to have an understanding about different things in the Bible. I remember when I was a young teenager, I thought the coolest place in the Bible was all those pages in the New Testament that had red ink on them. That's right, the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount, all those different things where Jesus is speaking directly to the people. But I didn't know much of what they taught. So I had guidance counselors here. But when I get a little bit older and I don't always have a guidance counselor around me, I think about many of my pastors who've died and gone on to heaven right now. What have I got left? I've got the Word of God. And what I'm saying to each of you today, when you're looking for guidance, no matter what it is in your life, the Word of God is going to have the proper answer for you. And if you don't know where it's at, ask. When I was in college, I was not a good student. I wasted more of my parents' money because I flunked out of classes because I was not a good student. And I admit that. I was not a good student in high school. I did graduate. I sat in row number 26 in my gymnasium in a graduating class of hundreds and hundreds of young people. But I was not a good student when I was in high school. You've heard of Who's Who. I was in Who's That. You know, it's just one of those kind of things. But the truth of the matter is, I learned how to study about halfway through my, third of the way through my college days. One teacher gave an outline the first semester I was there that I tucked away in a folder somewhere and didn't read it, of how to study. I pulled that out later on and learned how to study. You know, it was very simple. I turned F's and D's into A's and B's, practically overnight. The first point was read all of your notes every day. Don't study them, just read them. So I started reading all of my notes from all of my classes every day. I'd start even repeating it, just read it. The next point was in the next class period, you ask questions about what you don't understand, or you mark what you don't understand and ask questions about it the next class period. Well, I started doing that. The interesting thing about that was that when you ask questions about what you don't know, you actually get answers that you didn't have. And if you're not sure what to do or you don't know where it's found in the Word of God, the best thing you can do is ask someone who might be able to tell you where it's at in the Word of God. And through the years, people have said to me, I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but it goes something like this, and I don't have the whole thing, and then I'll look it up very quickly, or I'll have it memorized, and I'll tell you, and they'll say, yeah, that was it. That's what I was looking for. You don't know? Ask somebody to help you to get there. You'd be surprised how helpful that is. The Lord is always by our side. He's always there. The Holy Spirit will never depart from the Christian. He said in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said in the Gospels, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all. The Bible says we can't even pluck him out of his hand. Holy Spirit, the Bible says he seals us to the day of redemption. He is always there for us. So he will always guide you. That's whether you feel him or not. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, but he'll never leave us. Psalm 48 and verse 14, the Bible says this, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will be our guide even unto death. So when you ask God to lead, guide, and direct in a particular situation in your life, keep in mind how he does it. He will guide you with his counsel. He'll guide you with his word. He will guide you to the right path, and he'll do it always for his name's sake. And he wants to guide us, and he wants us to depend on him. None of us have all the answers, but the Bible's got every single answer that we need. It is the one resource. You can have a library full of books and articles and magazines, and you name it, seminars and feminars. You can have all kinds of things, and they may have some really good stuff. Can I use that word? Some really good stuff to help you. But none of those things have all the answers. Only the Bible has all the answers, every single answer. And we can get guidance from his counsel. And that is my message today for this reason. All of us are faced with decisions every single day. When to get up, when to go to bed, which way to take to work, and all the rest of it. What to buy at the store, what to look for, where to go. We need guidance because we make decisions every single day. So if we have to make decisions every day, we better get the guide right. And he promised that he would guide us. And just like Lonnie Pruitt always would pray, every time, by the way, there was never an exception to the rule. Every time Lonnie stood in this pulpit and prayed, he prayed the same thing in his prayer. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to lead, guide, and direct. And he might be talking about someone needing healing or someone needing guidance or someone having a need. And he would say, now, Heavenly Father, lead, guide, and direct so-and-so. And that's just something I'll never forget. And I said, I miss Lonnie. But Lonnie had it right. Lead, guide, and direct. And let's pray.